This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Om Saram to our listeners. I'm Gulab Pilmoria of Sri Sathya Sai International Organisation of New Zealand, and I offer my most loving and humble pranams at the Lord's feet of our beloved Bhagwan, Sri Sathya Sai Baba. I welcome our listeners to this 1135 Saturday news program. This afternoon, we will hear part 3, a satsang series hosted by Region 5 of USA, where they aim to bring speakers from around the globe to provide their insight on specific themes. On the 22nd of March 2025, Spectacular Insight had a special guest on that day, and she was Sruthi Vijayakumar of New Zealand. She's also the member of International Young Adults Committee, who says some key insights about pushing boundaries. So before we hear the part 3 of this satsang, let's have a Ganesh Bhajan, and here's one for you.
Jaya ho, jaya ho.
There was another boundary I wanted to push in the SAI Center. It was around being more environmentally conscious. And how can I decide something that's more, you know, attuned to Swami's teachings and really feeling like nature is God and really practicing on sealing our desires and not limiting, you know, not using plastic and being more conscious about carpooling and all of these sorts of things. And when I look at, okay, what's motivating this? Why do I really want to push this boundary? Is it from an ego place? Is it my own? Okay, there's some sadness, definitely, that Mother Earth is in the state she is. But there's really a compassion there. It's not like I'm angry or judging the elders. No, like there's really a compassion and a love for nature and a feeling of, wow, Swami's given us these amazing teachings, but I don't think we've really studied them much or really, you know, practiced them much. So there's really an opportunity to do that. And so when I feel the inner place is quite pure, it's non-judgmental. It's not like I'm saying, oh, these elders are wrong. It's not like I've got some hurt. That's a boundary that I'm really in a good place to push because the source is love. The source is something pure. And so that's been a boundary that has been awesome and really fulfilling to push. You know, we went to the, we actually went to Brother Shivendra in like 2016 and said, look, maybe the youth can start. Maybe we can start creating study circles. And actually it was the US that was way ahead. You know, the US has had a Go Greenhouse and been doing this much longer than the rest of the world. And there were some US brothers and sisters we knew, a number of your YAs who said, let's take this internationally. So we put a proposal to our international youth board and saying, let's start doing something internationally with the youths. And he said, yes, great. I was not pushing. I was not judging, saying, the youth suck. We're not doing anything. We should, you know, it was actually just, let's do something. There's an opportunity here. And so we started with the Serve the Planet initiative and we started making study circles and doing, you know, different projects, webinars, workshops, encouraging youth to, you know, learn more about sealing on desires, see how we could reduce waste or plastic in our centers. And got a lot of energy. Then we thought, okay, let's take the next step. So then we put a proposal to the youth and the seniors saying, let's hold the whole Go Green conference, all about Swami's teachings on nature and environment. And they said, yes, let's do it. So we got, you know, we started working with the seniors in Prashanthinilam in 2018. We ran a whole conference. We would have never guessed, you know, the small seed of, you know, and so many youth, so many people could come together, so many elders and make this vision. It was a collective vision, a reality. But what, and you know, from that, we found a lot of consciousness began shifting in the organization. We started appointing EnviroCare coordinators around the world. They were tasked with, you know, helping our centers get more green. And I think when that purity is there, it's not about me, Swami, it's not about my agenda. We just want to serve you. We just want to do what, you know, your work. Swami's grace comes. You know, when you've got a pure vision, he just propels you. And things you never would have imagined start. We never would have thought, okay, we can just propose to hold the whole conference and you know, and get the whole international organization, Indian organization coming together. It happened not because of us. I think there was some collective purity. So I think in terms of pushing boundaries, going back to your question, Deepak, the real thing is there any judgment in me? Because if I'm judging the other, and I want to maybe give one more example here, and then you know, you've got more questions. This environmental piece is one that's really close to my heart. And just to make this really relatable, you know, at home, I really felt we need to be living this too. And so I was trying to get our family into composting. So we set up this compost bin and I was explaining to my parents and sister how it works. And here's a separate bin for our food waste. And you want to make sure that you don't put any like plastics, anything else in this bin because the plastic pollutes the soil, the worms can't eat it. And especially in New Zealand, we still have plastic peels on our fruit, you know, like the sticker. On like an apple is sadly still plastic. So make sure you take the peel off and then put your apple peel or your apple core or your banana peel in the compost bin. So I was telling my parents. And then I found like week after week, plastic was coming in the compost. And I was getting like so annoyed. I'm like, who's the culprit? Like who in the family is putting plastic in the compost bin? And like the worms can't eat it. The soil is getting polluted. Like I really was getting like annoyed about this. And I was like trying to figure it out. And then I realized it was my dad. He was like throwing banana peels in the compost bin and there were plastic peels on them. So when I told my dad, I'm like, Dad, this is not okay. Like the worms are dying. Like the soil is getting polluted. Like you can't do this. I was very judgmental. I was very like a bit self-righteous. Like, look at me. I'm so environmental. You're not doing enough. And if you think if someone ever speaks to you, judging you and telling you to do something different, will you listen? Probably not. Like you'll be annoyed, right? Like, come on, man. Like I'm just doing what I can. Like, don't tell me what to do. Like the ego feels the ego and your ego like naturally resists. You know, when someone's speaking to you from an ego place, that was certainly me, might have been disguised as a pure thing. Oh, let's be environmental. Swami says this. Oh, Swami says this. But still I'm speaking from a place of ego. Yes, Swami may have said that, But Swami didn't egoistically tell you, you're doing the wrong thing. So when you come from that moral high ground or that ego or that judgment, it doesn't work. People resist. And that's certainly been my experience on both sides. And even when someone tells me, you know, like from a place of ego, like you're not, like, man, shut up. You know, like internally, I'm like, shut up, man. Like, to be very candid. Try and be respectful if it's an elder, but there's a resistance. It's quite natural. And so in this case, I had to recognize, okay, like I'm judging my dad. Like, that's not loving. And judgment, when we have judgment or resistance, it's not going to help us push a boundary. Maybe this goes to the question of how do you push boundaries? You know, you're not going to be able to push something if you have judgment or resistance, because when you force, the other person pushes back. And I'm trying to force you to be different. You can even feel it with your hands. When I try and force my hand, the other hand resists. But when I soften, my hand softens. You just even try it with your hand. So when I had to really reflect, why is my dad like this? Okay, maybe for 30 years of his life, he's just thrown banana peels in the bin. It's just a habit. It's not that he doesn't like the worms or he doesn't care about the soil or Swami's teachings. He's just not used to it. You know, it might take some time for him to change. He's just like eating his banana and innocently throwing it in the bin. Okay, like, that's pretty, like, harsh of me to judge him. Okay, let me have some compassion. I had to really have patience. It might take my dad 10 years to change this. He might never change it because he's old and it's just a habit. So then, okay, maybe what can I do? Maybe I can check the compost bin. And before I put anything, let me just check for all the peels and make sure, take them off myself. And when I kind of came to this conclusion and had more patience and more love and more compassion for my dad, and I really felt it's okay. He may never change. It's okay. Like the resistance in me was gone, right? That pushing in me was gone. Then my dad came one day. He said, how's the compost going? Oh, it's good, Dad. Like, you know, how's the plastics? Sometimes there's peel, but, you know, we need to get better at changing it. Yeah, with time we'll do it. Yeah, I'll try to be more conscious. He listened. He really listened. And slowly with some time, actually in a matter of months, he became more conscious and it changed. But there's such a difference, right? Can you feel in the first approach as really, the second approach as just accepting? So in terms of how to know which boundaries to change and how to change them, to your question, Deepak, like one is, what's my place? Am I coming from a, you know, is it pure? But even it might start pure, but then it doesn't. Like my environmental thing started very pure, but then I became judgmental. And it's very natural. You know, in our journey of expanding boundaries for our whole lives, it's natural. You know, we have many weird conditionings and judgments that will take a life to dissolve, maybe. Maybe with Swami's grace, we'll get there quickly, but really his grace helps. But that inner work of being accepting and loving is so critical. And when we are really loving, with some things it's easy. Like with my dad composting, pretty quickly I could become more accepting. Some things are really hard to accept. Sometimes we feel really hurt. I can't believe, you know, like what our political leaders are doing. And I feel really angry about the conflicts in the world. It can take a lot to really embrace them in compassion. But having that aspiration and praying, okay, Swami, I'm struggling to accept this person. I feel really hurt. But help me love them. Help me embrace them. You know, pray to Swami, because I don't want to try and push a boundary from my own pain or ego. I want to really expand from a place of love. So pray to Swami when it's hard. And I think that really helps, because his love will melt our boundary. And when that dissolves inside of us, then externally, the boundaries are easy to move. People listen, and they actually, when you speak from truth and from love, people feel that, you know, when you speak from judgment and ego, the inner being feels that and they resist. Anyway, I went on a bit, Deepak, but I wanted to share that as, yeah, just to kind of give light to how important that inner state is and how important that self-awareness is and that introspection is, because it's all fine to have these big dreams of pushing boundaries, but I think that self-awareness and the cultivating of love is really the heart that allows us to push and expand whatever boundaries we might be trying to change.
Yeah, definitely. I think we have to always step aside and reflect upon what we're thinking and find the root cause of the boundary we're pushing. And like you said earlier, if we think about our consciousness, if it's through love, then we move forward with it. And if you can find that ego or judgment, I think we pause and we don't push forward.
Yeah, we addressed that beautifully. Yeah. Summarized, Shmita, really beautifully. Yeah.
So I think you touched upon this earlier, but I'm going to come back to that point. How do we respectfully challenge the societal boundaries we have around gender? So we can say, like in Sai Center, making it more of an inclusive environment of varying backgrounds, like religions, sexualities, etc.
Yeah, this is such a hot issue with so many of our young adult leaders right now. You know, and I really acknowledge Sexuality, sexuality is becoming a bigger issue in society. You know, like we have a lot of, pressures and like these movements around us, you know, that's making us feel, okay, how do we do this in the SAI Center? And I want to touch maybe on SAI Center, Ashmita, because I know that was a big point in your discussion last week. So for me, this is kind of it's been a hard thing for me to swallow, because at heart, there's this part of me that's like this activist that's like, change the world and like change, liberate the SAI Center. But it's been quite humbling for me to learn that the SAI Center has the sole objective of helping us realize the truth, realize who we are, realize we are divine. There are many things in society, many places in society with different objectives. There are movements, and I've been a part of them, environmental movements, movements to end poverty, movements to, you know, like the SAI Center's sole objective is to help us realize the truth. And the SAI Center's sole objective is to come. It's like there's nowhere else in our life where you can go and just talk about Swami and Swami's love and Swami's teachings. With my friends from university, we can talk about gender rights. Not to say we shouldn't talk about this in the site. We'll come to that in a moment. But that's the objective of the SAI Center. And Swami was so clear on anything that takes away from us moving in that direction, we should not give importance to. You know, like there are many ways our SAI Center could be inclusive. Are we inclusive to divorcees? Are we inclusive to people of different prostitution, you know, like prostitutes, like different jobs, like in some countries, that's a real thing. Like that's a real profession. Are we inclusive? You know, there's so many to blind people, to deaf people. Like there are so many ways in which you could go. Like is the SAI Center, and not to say we shouldn't create a loving environment, an inclusive environment, but giving importance to issues like, you know, sexuality, LGBT takes away from the core purpose. Like I come to the SAI Center and rather than thinking of Swami, I'm getting like caught up in these movements and all my emotions around them. So that's kind of a fine line. So I think maybe the first point I wanted to raise was just to be really aware, like the SAI Center is about this. And there's a reason Swami has put the limits he's put in place. And I'm sure you've probably talked about gender and segregation. Like Swami has spoken so much like we are not here to, we don't want any distractions between us and God. And the reality is there's a biological attraction and that will distract us, you know, like especially as young adults, like we can't go against our biology, you know, like let alone the social conditioning. So we don't want any barriers between us and Swami at the SAI Center. Outside the SAI Center is different. We need to collaborate with our brothers. But in the SAI Center, like our sole objective is just to connect to Swami. And so the limits we've put in the SAI Center that Swami has given us actually are for that objective. And so that's something we need to keep in mind. That said, there's a very real question of how does the SAI Center be inclusive to all people? Because we want everyone who wants to seek the truth to feel welcome and not to feel judged, not to feel prejudiced. And I think here it's less about, we can talk about what the SAI Center can do, but I think it's more about our own prejudices. And it's very easy for me to sit and go point fingers, okay, this elder is not listening to me. Like this, you know, like to start pointing, like this elder is more prejudiced. But actually, what about me? Like, how inclusive am I? How accepting am I of the other points of view? And it's been quite humbling, I think. You know, Swami says, no, like when you point a finger to someone, three are pointing back to you. Like it's such a simple practice, but what can I do personally to make the SAI Center more inclusive and more safe? Where are my prejudices? Maybe for an elder, it's to someone of a different sexuality because that's the conditioning they grew up with. For me, maybe it's a very conservative minded person because I'm around all these liberal friends and someone is very conservative about their political views, I start judging. So where are my judgments and how can I be more inclusive of all people, you know, and how can I address my prejudices? And if each of us can be more loving and inclusive, the SAI Center will be more inclusive. People will come in and they'll feel the love. And, you know, I know there are SAI youth talking about like gender pronouns and like being more inclusive. We can do those things. But if ultimately inside me there isn't love, I can say the right things and do the right things, but the person coming might still feel judged. So I think it's really the personal work of us looking at our own prejudices. We all have them. They're just different. My parents have one set. I have one set just due to the conditioning. But really to work on that, I think that's really what I can do, you know, to take responsibility, to be careful that I'm not judging and blaming others because that's not adding more love to the SAI Center. That's actually creating more division with others. And then we can sit with our elders and go, look, what can we do to make the SAI Center more inclusive? And I mean, I know one example I was really touched by was I was in the SAI Center in Costa Rica once. And they had a big event for Baba's birthday, as for Baba's birthday, and a whole lot of public came. And the president did a beautiful job of explaining the significance of aarti and of camphor and how it represents the ego being dissolved and Swami's love. And it was very touching. I'd never heard someone explain aarti in such a beautiful way. And then all these foreigners, you know, like Costa Ricans that might have found aarti to be this weird Indian tradition where you're waving a flame in front of, it might feel very foreign. They suddenly, I mean, my perception was they participated with so much devotion and so much appreciation because they could appreciate the inner significance of why we're doing this. It's actually about dissolving our own ego and melting into the love that we are. And so that's, I think, a very, like, I don't know, it was really touching for me because I saw, wow, a practice like that made the Sai Center really inclusive to people of different backgrounds, non-Indian backgrounds. We sometimes think the Sai Center is too Indian. I think it's not about not doing the aarti. It's about explaining why we are doing this, why Swami has given us the aarti, so that others can resonate and realize it's not about imposing an Indian tradition that we like. Actually, it's a really profound, you know, it's a profound ritual that connects us beautifully to our omnipresent self and helps us offer our egos to Swami and really feel its burning. And so, yeah, there are many things we can do practically, and absolutely we should meet with our elders, but at the heart of it, I think the essence is remembering, yeah, why the Sai Center is there. So which boundary should I push? How do I respect the limits Swami has given that really help us? And then secondly, making sure I start with myself when the tendency might be there very naturally to be like, oh my God, look at all these closed-minded people. Like, actually, that's me as well. I'm judging them as closed-minded. So how do I open up? Yeah, I'm curious how that lands, Rashmita. I know this is a big issue with the young adults and Deepak and what your thoughts are. Yeah,
I wrote some points down. I was thinking about how I know Swami in several discourses has said to focus on not judging people. Like, you should focus on just yourself and your connection with Swami. And also, like, I was also thinking about the fact that everyone has a Swami within them. So there's no point in judging anyone, and it's not worth it.
Beautifully
that's
said.
The points that was like brought up to me.
I mean, I love that, Rashmita. It's so beautiful what you've said. You know, like, can I really feel that these are all Swami like me? Or if not that, at least all these people are my brothers and sisters. Even the people I might disagree with or have very different opinions on things.
Yeah.
And I really feel like they are, Swami's our mother and father. These are my sisters and brothers. And like, can I love them? You know, like, can I have the kind of affection that I might have for my real sister, you know, like toward them? And it's a beauty. I mean, if we can imbibe that as young adults, man, the Sai Center will be the most beautiful, loving place. I think it's so, so powerful what you said, sister. Yeah, yeah.
So even I resonate with the same thing, Saka. So like, one good thing about Sai Center is like we don't have any boundaries over there. Like everyone are like accepted over there, like irrespective of the religion and all. And I see like few of my friends like asking me like they are of the different castes. They were just asking like literally, like, they came for Swami's birthday and recent Shivratri bhajans, and they were just outside of the center and they were asking. I just invited one person and he was accompanied by the other person. So he was telling, like, I'm only invited. So the other guy, can he also come? So that's the question I got from the person. Then I told, no, we don't have any restrictions here, like, at the Swami's place. I mean, everyone are always welcome over here. So, yeah.
Beautiful. I was so fortunate, no? To have Swami has been so clear and so expansive. Like, it's so beautiful to be part of such an organization. Beautifully.
Yeah, and after experience of them is also really good. Like, after they went back home, and when I asked them, like, how was your experience? They felt, like, really good about the environment and all.
Beautiful example. Yeah,
I had a quick question. So I was thinking about how Swami always like tells us to promote unity. How I know you said like earlier about Swami wants us to just focus on like our relationship with Swami itself. How do you balance that? You're trying to be more inclusive, but also you only want to focus on yourself. But how do you balance the like the distribution between those two?
And what's under the question? What makes it hard? What's the tension there? if you can share a little bit more.
Yeah, so if you're trying to only focus on just your connection with Swami, I was just wondering what ways can we also be able to unify everyone else and be more inclusive? While you said earlier just to focus on Swami itself, I'm kind of trying to find a balance between those two.
Okay. So there's this kind of point of, okay, the Sai Center is about Swami, but there's still, I still feel this, we could be more united.
Right. Yeah.
I still feel we could be more inclusive for everyone else. But mm-hmm. can I do both? Like, does one preclude the other? It almost sounds like.
Yeah.
So I guess maybe to clarify the first point, yes, there's our connection. I think it's just understanding the purpose of the Sai Center is about about knowing the truth. You might still, I mean, we're still interacting with each other, especially if we are like office bearers or youth coordinators or service coordinators, or even not, like, even if you're taking part in events, the reality is we are still, it's not just like me, and it's not like I'm just coming here, like quietly focusing on Swami and leaving. And that's the point of a bhajan, maybe, like we're not wanting to socialize. But in Seva, we are interacting. In youth study circles, we are interacting. So there is a reality that it's a beautiful social network, actually. You know, I have some of my dearest friends are Sai brothers and sisters. My dearest mentors have been Sai Annas and Sai Akkas. And so I think one point is the purpose of the Sai Center is to focus on the truth, to not give so much importance to all the body. You know, like, yes, we are in the body, but Swami is saying, rather than focusing so much on my gender, on my sexuality, on my race, on my religion, on my caste, all are welcome. Let's focus on that thing in common. So that's kind of, I guess, the point I was trying to make earlier, Rashid, and I'm really glad you asked this question, because it's, yeah, so there's that, that's the purpose of the center, to give most importance, you know, to let's use this to, regardless of any of the divisions, rather than giving importance to, okay, you're this, and you're this, and you're this, and you're this, and, you know, like, let's really, you know, use this chance to know who we are beyond all of that. But that said, I mean, absolutely, we want everyone to feel included in our study circle and our seva, to come for bhajans. And I think that's where we can, you know, if we find there are places that we are, others, people are struggling or feeling judged, we can start to look at them and address them. So if, you know, if I feel, okay, I've got my Muslim friend who's really interested in Swami, I want to bring them along, but the organization appears very Hindu. It's a very common thing. Or even in the European organizations, they sometimes feel the organization seems too Indian. You know, it appears too Indian. Is it really inclusive? We had one elder in New Zealand once say, like, propose, what if you had bhajans where you just had a Sarvadharma picture and we all sat in a circle and there was no picture of Swami or any deities? And that was his vision of inclusive, you know? And I think for me, like, and again, each context is different, each center is different, each place is different, but with something like, are we being too Indian? I think it's about getting to the heart. Like, Swami has given us these practices. How do we stay true to the essence, but also adapt, you know? So one example.
Okay, listeners. So we'll hear the example in the final part 4. Saram to you all.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.